But if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. This is going to be an unusual message, I believe. Certainly something I have learned down through the years. And in Philippians chapter 4, read first of all my life verse along with verse 19, which is both of these my life verses. Well, the Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I love that. All things. Now, sometimes people say, well, that can't be true. You can't fly. Flop your arms and jump off a building and try to fly. I got better sense than do that. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about something foolish. He said in 4, you know, Paul was concerned about his life being where God wanted. He can do anything and all things that God has called him to do. And I believe that's what he's meaning here, not something foolish. I can't flip my arms and fly. It's foolish. One day I'm going to in the glorified body, though. But yet I can take this body and put it in a container man has made like an airplane fly. I can't swim. I can't get in the water and stay for months at a time and not be able to survive there as far as this body is concerned. But I can get in a type container and go under the water and stay there as long as it stays down, what man is able to make. So I know that he's not talking about things foolish here, but he is talking about anything that God calls us to do, we can't do. Of course, he says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Now, if you look with me in Joshua chapter 1, though, to tie some things together, Joshua said this in verse 8 and 9. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night for a reason. Watch. You shall meditate day and night that thou mayest observe to do to all that is written therein. And watch. For then. Now, look at, don't read over the first part fast. Talking about the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shall meditate therein, what is the book of the law, day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein, written in that book of the law. Then he says, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. We know that the book of Hebrews says he'll not leave us, forsake us. So here I find that one way to be successful in this life is to hide the word of God in our heart, and the book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth. Meditate therein day and night, and then you'll be then shall thou make thy way prosper, and then shall thou have success. Then if you look at me in 3 John, or 2 John, over in the New Testament again, go 1 John, then go to 2 John, and let's look in verse 2 through 4. And here is what John says. It's actually 3 John. Look what he says. In verse 2, he said, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. I like that because here, you've heard me say before, God is saying the most important thing is that you grow in grace and knowledge and your soul prospers. And when that prospers like it should, then other things will fall in line and be nothing wrong with it. And he said, for I rejoiced greatly, John does, when the brethren came and testified the truth that's in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Now watch, verse 4, he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are prosperous. Or that my children are in good health? No, he said, go again. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Then he says in verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Amen. That's where the soul is prospering. And when the soul is prospering like it should, there will be success physically here in this life and also in the portals of glory. I want to speak to you a few minutes tonight on 7 steps that needed for success. And I believe this. There's 7 deeds that's needed for success. Now, years ago when I started out, I didn't understand this in success, but I knew what it meant to work hard. And for a year, I went to work before I was saved. I was a member of the church, religious. I had it all together, I thought, but I wasn't born again. But I did have a work ethic, and I did have something or other. When you get a job, you work. You don't work to, 6 hours a day and get paid for 8. You don't work 30 hours a week and get paid for 40. You work 30, you work 40, you get paid for what you work for. I had that work ethic to realize that that I had to, if I was going to be paid by a man, that he deserved a good day's work and a good week's work. And I had that. And I realized also that there would be some things I need to learn. And I took a lot of things. I'm glad I was able to be successful in the way to go to work and move up in supervisor line first quick. But then when I got saved and born again, I began to look at some things that my work ethics was mainly to do what I could do to get ahead in life. But God began to teach me, no, the best thing to do is do what you do as unto the Lord. Amen. Whatever it is, do as what you do unto the Lord. That means you're not going to do some things because it wouldn't please God. There's no way in the world that I could run whiskey in the mountains for some bootlegger. Amen? In fact, I couldn't drive a truck to the ABC store for the state. You know that? I'm saying to you, there's some things I could not do now, where before it might have said, that's a good job, good paying job. But I found out there's some things that God says that we need to do heartily unto him, and when that happens, it cannot interfere what God has called me to do. And yet, if I'll do it as unto the Lord, there will be those who will take note of that and say there's something different about this particular person, whether it be a man or a woman. So let's look at these seven steps that are needed, seven D's for success. Any successful person, ladies and gentlemen, has incorporated some of these steps, if not all of these. I guarantee you. Maybe you didn't think of them. But if you think of your life and analyze it, you'll find out these steps are there somewhere in your life to get wherever you're at in the success of life. Now, I preached about this morning knowing you're saved. I preached this morning God's imparted life. But this is another aspect of that life can help us understand when it comes to success. What good is to be successful here and not be successful with God? What good is to be successful here and leave all of this and go to God and not have a thing? We have inheritance by birth, spiritual birth. But there's a lot of things that God says and he puts to us that we can have by service to him. So the very first step I see is that success starts with a dream or a goal or an idea. When you think about when you look to get out of high school, you look to go to college, you look when you get through, you hope you get a job, hope the certificate you get or the diploma you get or the degree you get helps you get a better job, maybe it's somebody else. You have a type of goal or dream or an idea. So success starts with that dream or the goal or the idea. And when you start in that direction, decide what God wants you to do. Now, a unsaved person can't decide that, but a child of God should. We should always want God's will first, and then from there move in a direction that we feel God is leading. The goal is, what does God want me to be or to do? That's what Colossians says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. Paul said, listen, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. This is what I think his will is for me in my life. It doesn't matter if I'm attorney or judge or lab technician or doctor or sheetrock finisher or bricklayer or skyscraper building or preacher. It ought to be, this is what I know God's will is for my life. Because God's will for my life is not just to do this job I'm doing. The other one is to do what God wants, and this gave me a means to that end, that I could do it much better. You can certainly do it much better with financing than you can without finances. And so it's that means. A person emerges in this business world needs to come up to worship on Sunday too for the fresh air. It's important that God have a day to refresh us. We all like to have time off, don't we? We all like to have vacations, even though nowadays you have vacation, you're tired and you were before you took the vacation. Where do you go? We travel and all that. But I'm saying we all like a day of rest. Well, God has set forth that even the Lord's Day can be a day for us in the church to have a refreshing time in our life this side of eternity. And those people who do not have a dream or a goal never do much. Never do much that's sad. I read where a young man was talking to an elder man. And he asked the question. He said, could I ask you a question? Yes, sir. What is the secret to your success? And this elder man said, well, it's making good decisions. And he said, making good decisions? How did you make good decisions? And this old elder fellow said, well, you get experience. He said, well, how do you get experience? He said, by making bad decisions. That's true. And you go through life, you make a lot of bad decisions at times, but we ought to learn from those decisions and realize if they don't work, they won't ever work. Don't try them again. And so I also read where one of the worst things, I read a sign that said one of the worst things to happen to a person is to have ulcers and still not be successful. May be true. But anyhow, the first thing, success starts with a dream or a goal. Number two, when the goals are set, start designing them. That's what we see in Psalms 37. When we have the psalmist telling us this, in Psalms 37, God said, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart." You know what that says? To anyone who's his children, delight thyself in the Lord. And he didn't say when he'd give them to you, but he said he'd give them to you. And he said, commit thy ways unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of thy heart. Then commit yourself to him. Whatever you're involved in, commit yourself to him. And he says, and he shall bring it to pass. And I certainly can agree to that. There's something that years ago I wanted, I seen and I wanted, and only did this year that I was able to get it. It took me 53 years, but God brought it about. I mean, just simple as that. And what I'm saying is, it wasn't that he couldn't do it quicker, just the fact that the time came when it was right and so forth, and it happened. And I believe this verse of Scripture is true. He don't tell you when he'll do it, but you'll find out if he's first and he's in your life, when somewhere down the road, you'll see it happen, but you can't nig on him. You can't, you know, say one thing and do something else. You're going to have to be sure you understand. When the goals are set, and start desiring them. Desiring is, I have got to do this by the grace of God, and I've got to do it for God's glory. I may be putting a peg in a hole 6 hours or 8 hours a day, but I'm doing it for the glory of God. This person that I'm working for may get rich off of it. That's all right. I'm doing it for the glory of God. One of these days, God will let me do something better. Because I'm doing it for the glory. Wherever I go in my life, in any job, secular of the world, I'm going to still do it for the glory of God. And I find out that God will bless that in time. You must desire to succeed in your Christian life. Let God's goals consume you. If you do, you say, I must do it within God's word, and I must do it for the glory of God. And if I will, God will recognize that and make me peace with men at times and bless my effort to do that. Number three, I need to make a decision to start towards that goal. When I set forth... a dream or goal or an idea, and I began to work towards starting that, then I have to also make a decision to start towards that goal. If I start desiring that, I need to start towards that. Now, this means I have to make a decision. And that's what you see Joshua doing. You remember in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, 16? You know, remember he said, you knew what you want to in so many words, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Now, he made a decision that only he, but his own house was going to do that as long as people were there as his offspring. That song, I decide to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. You say, well, weak on that. Well, that's true. No turning back whatsoever. Decide what God wants you to do, then start towards the goal. Did you know decision is harder to do than desiring and also dreaming? Deciding to do something is doing something in itself. But you do not leave God out. Amen. You can't never leave him out anywhere in one's life, in life pathway. If you do, then you're going to come up short. God's going to show us that he knows where we're trying or not trying when it comes to those things. We start. When we start, when we know it's right to start today, tomorrow. When you do start, watch out how God blesses you tomorrow or the next week or every week. Step out by faith. That's what we see in Proverbs. I love this because in Proverbs 3, he said, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Stepping out by faith. I can't lean on my understanding because it's something that I'm going to do that's not displeasing to God. And although that is biblically, it's foolish of me to try to do it. I must realize I've got to keep where I may have to stay where I'm at in poverty sometime to get to the place where God would have me be, not to do something he wouldn't have me to do as far as a child of God is concerned. And so I've got to be sure that I understand that. Number four, dare to do it by God's grace. In 1 Corinthians, I have a verse that God says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 in verse 24. Paul said this, know ye not that they which run a race run all but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery in temperance, in all corrupt, in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertain, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I kept under my body and bring into subjection, and lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself may be a castaway. He wants to dare to do what God says do by God's grace. You know, this world is full of people who have dreamed and desire and set goals, but will not take the dare. Or they thought, because they didn't, they were wiser than God. I can think years ago, when I started out, I remember the working, and then when I got saved, how it changed things. And I used to, every one of us has done this, he works for someone. You work for someone, and all of a sudden you begin to go up the ranks, and you're working hard, and you say, man, I'm working, making this fellow look good before his boss. And if I'm doing that, then good day, I need to just try to find somewhere else to make myself look good. Well, once I began to think about me making myself look good, then I was headed for trouble. Yeah. You see, I used to think, and you do the same thing. I used to think after working 2 or 3 years, I was lying, began to move up. I used to think that hit of my department. I said, man, I can do that good as he can. You never done that, I'm sure. And you say, man, I can do that. I know I could do that. But I always say, Lord, but wait a minute. I got to step back. Listen, don't let your egotistic get in line. You've got to do this for the glory of God. If you're doing it for the glory of God, you don't care who gets the blessing out of it. You're just doing it that God will be honored. Amen. And I began to keep doing that. And then all of a sudden, I found that then doors began to open. And you know what? When I got in a position where he was at, as he moved on to other things, it wasn't as easy as I thought it would be. Man, you have authority, and suddenly you're responsible for things. It's much better to be in line working. You don't get as much pay, but you be in line working than have authority over you. And you're getting pressure from above and pressure underneath. And, you know, you got meetings, and you got things have to do about budgets and so forth. And there's great, you know, the world wants nothing but a profit. And sometimes, even when you think, well, I'm letting God be first, sometimes it may not look like the profit should come. And if it don't come, you're gone. So you get along with God. And it amazes me. You have to keep people happy. 50 people or less most of the time keep happy. Then I had one man over me I had to keep happy. And I had one man over him would be happy if that man was happy. And that was the president. And I found out if I could make him happy, that's because things went well, and then the guy up above him would be happy. But sometimes those who are working for him weren't quite as happy. And so you come back and say, Lord, I'm doing this for the glory of God. My Father, you know, my heart, I'm not playing with you. I'm doing this for the glory of God. And what I do, I want them to see. And God, if I tell you some things that God did for me because I was faithful, not that I was a perfect, but God did some things for me, ladies and gentlemen, that would blow your mind when you think about what happened. One particular thing was because I had promised that when it came to church, that I'd try my best to be in church, and yet I don't want to jeopardize my job. And so I went to the president, along with my man, who was a plant manager at the time, and I went and said, look, I don't mind working night and day if you want me to work, but I tell you, when it comes Sunday morning, I need to leave and go to church. Amen. When it comes Sunday night, I need to leave and go to church. Please understand this. This is my commitment. Now, I work. I work night. I work all night, all day. I'll do anything you want me to do. Head of my apartment, but when it comes to that, I need to get up. And so from the very president said, Charlie, I'm going to let you do that. Well, you know what happened when that happened? Everybody else in the plant heard about it. And then you had other men saying the same thing. And so all of a sudden, he had to call everybody in and say, all right, if you're going to church, I'll let you off on Sunday morning. Well, he called a meeting about 2 months after that. And we sat inside and I was sitting at one end of the conference table. He was sitting at the other end of the conference table, and everybody was sitting around the conference table. And he said, fellas, he said, listen, I'm going to retract this thing of going to church on Sunday morning because some of you leave here saying you're going to church and have not gone. And they said, well, how do you know? He said, I checked on you. He said, the only one sitting at this table has done it is Charles. He checked on me. I didn't even know he was doing it. Boy, am I glad I was in church. Why should I tell a lie about something like that? And these men were not doing it. They may go one Sunday, next Sunday not go. They may go Sunday night and then come back. But what I'm saying, most of the time you didn't have to do that. Once in a while, you have to do some things that you don't want to do. I'm just saying that when God is first, it amazes how these things work out. So you do it for God's grace. Now, if you're never tired, you never tried, you'll never be successful. You step out, you burn your bridges behind you. Dare to do it by God's grace. You have to burn your bridges behind you. To do this, it takes grit and gall. And even old Johnson County word wrote up was guts. Now, I know people don't like that, but you have to understand that used to be a term when you did something that was really outstanding, and many times you get opposition for that. In fact, if you really look right down to it, the word guts in the Greek in Johnson County is for intestinal fortitude. what you said, I'm saying, listen, you have to, hey, my wife and I, when we got married, we love our parents, but they never interfere with our marriage. They never interfere with our marriage, both sides. We didn't cut the cord completely, but we did cut that they didn't interfere. We had a problem, we worked it out. We didn't run to our parents, she didn't run to her mother and dad, I didn't run to my mother and dad. It wouldn't do no good. They were old school. They'd say, you made the bed, you lie in it. I mean, that's the way they were. LaVon agreed with that. That's the way they were. But on the other hand, when we got to the point that we had to leave the job to come here too, it's the same thing. We burnt the bridge. The home she loved, we got rid of it. We had to, God forced us to. But what I'm saying is, there's some sometimes you have to burn the bridge. And I'll tell you this, when I promised God what I'd do to him, I had to be promised to the one I worked for. I didn't beat around the bush. I didn't try to play the game. I didn't watch the clock. I tried my best to be what I could be, the best I could, for my responsibility to make him look good. And God honored that, moved me up the ranks. And I don't know where I'd been, and you hear me tell the story when God led us here, but we had to break that tie. We had to break it so we couldn't go back to it. Because I'd been back there a number of times, it'd been left up to me. Things just not that easy sometimes when it comes to dealing with people. So it takes grit. The fifth thing, to be completely dedicated, is fulfilling God's will in your life. When you dream crystallizes, your desires will get intense. It'll excite a decision which will promote a dare. That dare must be transformed into complete dedication to your God-given goal. Be completely dedicated to fulfill God's will in your life. You see, the difference is this. If I'm on a job that I am not satisfied with, I've got to first be sure that I'm in God's will. Is God's will fully satisfied in this job? If it is, God will get me where I need to be. He'll move things around for us, but it takes time, and we're impatient. I'm an impatient person, and sometimes God don't move fast enough, it seems like, but I'm old enough now to know, just wait, he'll move. And when he moves, you'll find out that he moves at the right time. And you learn this from walking and understanding the scriptures. Again, be completely dedicated to fulfilling God's will for your life. And then, dedicate yourself by giving it all your all. God is first. Dedication is more than 8 to 5 hours of job per day. Punctuality is an important factor for success. Lateness creates discomfort for ourselves and others. Lateness on a job causes hurrying. Hurry is the child of unpunctuality. Laziness, then hurry, leads to disaster. It is easier to be early as late unless you are providential hindered. And to waste other people's time should bother our conscience. Now, that's something that I was taught from the secular world. If we had a meeting at a certain time, and we had 10 people at that meeting, or 4 people at that meeting to be at that meeting, I remember, just 4 people, one person came in 15 minutes late. And the first thing was said at that meeting, this person gives some kind of off-the-wall reason, and they said to it, listen, son, you have to understand. You're 15 minutes late. There's 3 others here waiting. That means that we're an hour lost waiting on you. Boy, that hit me. I never forgot that. I mean, you might be 15 minutes late, but if you got 4 other people waiting, or 3 other people waiting for you who's late, that means we've lost a complete hour waiting on you. By the way, he was right. Why should I get mad with that? Why should I get upset with that? That's the honest truth. And God began to show me, hey, you can't get mad with something that's true. This word you read the Bible is true, but that's true too. Time is one's life. And everywhere we go, everybody in here, you know, we pray that God thank you for these people giving us the time. That's the life. There's money can't buy that. Their life is important. Dear Father, time is their life, and they give their life when they give their time to spend with us. We don't take that lightly because life is too important. And so, to waste other people's time should bother our conscience. Lateness shows unconcern. Once a committee member was told, again, like I said, you're 15 minutes late, there's four in that meeting, and then there's an hour loss at that particular time. Life is something that one can afford to not afford to throw away. Proper respect for fellow man is to value his time, for that's his life. Now, the trouble of being late, it squanders time of others, and it says it's not important. So continued lateness is not a virtue. Now, there's going to be times we'll have to be late, providential hindered. There's times that we have to find ourselves saying, hey, I'm sorry, I just couldn't get here because of some providential hinder. We're not talking about that. But lateness is not a virtue, it's a vice. The sixth thing, do not lose your direction. Your dreams, your desires, starting point, your dare, be dedicated. In Colossians 3:2 again says let me just read that to you. 3:2 says this, set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. And then it's Matthew 6:33, we heard so much, we get tired of it, but it's true. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these other things will be added, you see. I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen, this thing of having true success in life. Do not lose your direction. Stay on the main line. Do not live above your means so that you have to make bad decisions for your life. Number 7, be devoted. This is what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And he said this in chapter 4 and verse 15. He said, meditate upon these things. He's talking to Timothy. Give thyself wholly to them that thy profit may appear to all. Go back and look at the things he's talking about, the walk of a good Christian. He said, meditate on these things. And he said, that thy profiting may appear to all. It's something that God will give pleasure to you because there'll be others. You may have some against you, but you find that there'll be those who say, man alive, that person is a true Christian. You keep in mind that completed devotion to God and his cause leads to true success here and in heaven. Each job here is a means to an end. Each answer of prayer obligates us to pray more. It obligates ourselves to God. I think about prayer, and I mention these things from time to time because I was here. I think about the prayer and the dry cleaning, about how we prayed that God help us find some land. Couldn't find it, and all of a sudden, one night, a dear brother, Brother Capps, came and said, look, I've got some land on West Main Street that I'd always wanted a church down there, and I've offered it to the First Baptist Church because they had a mission on the other end of town, and I've offered that if they would come and build a church down here, then I would let them have the land. But I have to give them that chance, and I said, he said, if they don't take it, would you take it? I said, no, I don't want it, no. No, I said, are you kidding, Brother Capps? I'd be glad to take it. And we began to pray. And 2 months went by and came back, and they said, you know what? They decided they're going to move out here on 42 and build that building out there, of course, where the school's at. And so that's how we got the first. God answered the prayer. I can't explain all of those things, but I understand that. When you look at being devoted to the cause, first then we got the land, then next thing we needed to build a mill. We couldn't even borrow no money. They want to borrow all the time now, but we couldn't even borrow $3,000. $3,000 to be successful here. Got the land now, and we couldn't find it. And then we found a guy in Wilson who had a place for. Supplies, said he'd give us supplies, and we got supplies, and men in our church that time built the roof tabernacle, and we thanked the Lord because of $3,000, we had it paid off less than a year. This land right here. You don't know the times I walked over this land and prayed that God help us get this land. Didn't know how in the world we was going to get it because the man who had it didn't want to sell it. Russell Beard, he didn't want to sell it. Now, the other land, Brother Capps, on, we were able to buy that, but this right here, we couldn't. He had it for a business deal. And I've got that written, by the way, Brother John's getting up now. I've got that written into our history of our church now, the whole story how that happened. That is a blessing, how God went from no to yes. And it's written out. We hope to have that one of these days in the near future. And there came, we had a chance to buy this land. Prayer for the land. God Almighty blessed it because we waited on that. We have crossed now at this time. Look where we're at. We've crossed the Red Sea like Israel. We have no way to turn back to Egypt now. I mean, we have the academy, we have the bookstore, we have the radio, we have the college, we have the website. Man, we can't go back to Egypt now. God has brought us too far. Amen. Hear what I'm saying? I don't know what He wants to do in the future. I don't know how long our life is, but I'm telling you, God wants us to be successful because we're faithful. And He will not let us be successful unless we are faithful. Amen. That's all there is to it. Do you have a dream? Let it become a desire. Decide to start it. Dare to get it. Launch out into the deep and prove that God is not dead. Dedicate yourself to the task that God has given you to do. Do not lose your direction. A successful person is one who does what people who fail not want to do. In other words, a person who fails don't want to do it. A successful person will get up and try again. True success is being able to bear an injustice without retaliating. True success is being able to accept criticism without letting it whip you and without being a critical person yourself. True success, ladies and gentlemen, is to carry money without the urge to spend it, without a plan to spend it.
Amen?
Amen. Amen. I thought the men would say that anyhow. No, I tell you, the ladies are about as sharp on spending as we are. But we have to, that's down to earth where we live at in this life. We need to be completely devoted to the cause of Christ. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. I can. I will by the grace of God. Make a choice. Make a chariot wheel out of your difficulties and ride to success for the glory of God. Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest point in life is life, not money. Yes. Now you say, preacher, that's foolish. Don't you think I know you've got to have money? Not many of us farm, if any. Maybe one or two. You've got to have money. When a preacher gives them and talks about letting God be first, We understand that money is a lifeline to keep us doing things, but the greatest thing in life is life itself, not money, because God is what blesses life, and money can be a great help to us as far as life is concerned, but that's not what it is. Now, I don't mean you go out there and say, well, bless God, I'm going to enjoy life. I'll just work, not get no money. I'm not talking about that. I go next, I'm going to turn in and say, boss, I want to tell you something. I'm learning my life is worth so much. I want to work for you the next year, and I don't want you to pay me a dime. That's not what I'm talking about. You need money, and you want to be paid for what you are worth. Therefore, money is necessary. But I'm telling you, money won't mean a thing when you stand before God. It's your life. It's my life. The only thing it'll show up anyhow, whether we did give God get His part. Isn't it an amazing thing that God is so precious that He said, the tithe's mine? And by the way, I don't care what people say. He didn't change that in the New Testament
That's
either.
Right. Yeah.
He didn't change that. He says, it's mine. And I'll let you have 9/10. And you know what I'll do? I'll bless you if you give that, because that's all I need. By the way, it's all mine. God says, it's all mine. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to let you give me 10% of what's mine. And I'm going to let you have the rest. And I'm going to show you I can do what I got to do with the 10%. If you want to give more, it's good. I'll bless you for doing it. But you can do what more with 9/10% than you can with 10/10%.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, that's the way it is. He said, I'll bless you if you look at and open the windows of heaven with that blessing in life. Every day is the best day of the year. To be rich is to own the day that God is in the middle of. With worry and fret and anxiety, when that's allowed to invade your day, we've lost that day. And that's hard to do, isn't it? I guess that I worry about most anything and a lot of things in my life. Not personally for me, but what God has got me involved in. I worry over people. I pray for people. And you can't pray like you want to unless you worry over it. I mean, God will give you a burden. And ladies and gentlemen, you can't have a burden without worrying over people. That's all there is to it. But you can't understand that unless you're where I'm at. You can't understand that. You can't understand your boss till you get to be where he's at. He said, I think I'm understanding he means the devil. Well, you still can't understand him until you get where he's at. And if he's not saved, he's just doing what comes naturally. If he is saved, you're going to have some things about it that's different about what he's doing and not doing. Knowing that you did what you could do, when you finish a day, be done with it, learn from it, and know that you did what you could do. So, successful, 7 D's that leads to success. Do you have a dream? Let it become your desire. Decide to start with it somewhere with God in the center. Dare to get it with God's help as long as God is first. Dedicate yourself to the task under God's leadership. Don't lose directions and leave God out. That's the problem a lot of times. Here we are. We move along in society. We get to a point that whereas we are maxed out, and suddenly something comes up to make us look like we can get more better things, and next thing we make a decision that gets it out of the will of God. Listen, God can sanction us and bless us anywhere we're at if we'll listen. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you something. This will work in this world, whether you believe it or not. Young folks, this will work for you, whether you believe it or not. It doesn't make no difference whether you believe it. This will work. This is something that's needed to understand. It don't happen in series so slow like that, but these 7 D's are the things that will be used, if not all, some of these, to be successful in life. And by the way, you can be successful here and not be successful for God. I want to be successful not only here, but for God. And that means sometimes I may not look successful here because I'm trying to be successful in doing what God says to do. That should be our heart. Our heart should be given to Him, completely committed to Him, and then go from there. Everybody can't be a preacher. Everybody can't be a teacher. Everybody can't be a deacon. But we can be who we are using the gift God gives us, and He can be first with those gifts, wherever it's at. And God will bring them out. I think about Brother Ken. Brother Ken never thought he could lead a choir. As far as I'm concerned, he's the best choir director in this country. Amen. And I mean that, Brother Ken. I don't say that to build you up. I believe that because here's the first. He couldn't do it, and he said, if God will help me do it, when we talked about it, he said, I'd do it. And he's really done a good job as far as being a choir. And by the way, he ain't been off to college 4 years to get a degree for it either. But he's got a heart for it. You know why? A heart's better sometimes than a degree. Because you want to do it for the glory of God. And same way with other things that we have in our church here. These 7 D's lead to success. Keep in mind, no one ever gets so satisfied that they feel completely satisfied. You know the reason why I know that? In Psalms chapter 17, David said this. In Psalms chapter 17, David said this, down in verse 15. He said, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I like that. I will behold thy face in righteousness. My life, dear God, wants to establish righteous living for you. And I'm going to hold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I wake with thy likeness. I like that. No matter how hard I try, I can never be what I want to be. But I know this, when I awake in thy likeness, watch this, he says, he said, I will be satisfied. I'll be satisfied when I awaken our light. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Thank God for verses like that. It may not mean nothing to you, but no matter how hard we try to please God and be satisfied before God, we realize that His righteousness is beyond us. We come short all the time. If it were not for the blood of Jesus Christ, none of us would ever make it. And so he says, I strive and know this in faith. He said, I behold thy righteousness. And he must not be satisfied because he said, I shall be satisfied when I awaken thy likeness. Isn't that a wonderful thing? So, Lord, I've failed you so many times, but I don't want to dwell on that. I don't want to dwell on what I can do. I'm trying so hard, dear God, in where I'm at, what little I know, when I peanut brine mine, trying to renew my mind, the things that God wants me to know and see and grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And every time I turn around, something comes up that makes me see myself short. But I'm glad I understand that when it comes to your righteousness, there's no way I can contain that without you. And I'm glad that I know that I'm going to be satisfied one day when I wake in your likeness. Ladies and gentlemen, that means something to me. It may not mean anything to you, but it does to me. Yet we do not become greedy in the process of life. You know, God calls us to be faithful, not successful. And I believe that. When we're faithful to the things of God, we'll be successful in the things that we have to do. The time that God gives us for His work and the time He gives for our own work, we have a lot of time on our hands for our own work. You know, though we live every day for the Lord. God calls us to be faithful, not successful, yet faithfulness to God is to be successful. And that's what they end up with tonight. These 7 things Dream your dream, desire it, decide to start it, dare to get it with God in the center, dedicate yourself to the task under God's leadership. Don't lose direction and leave God out anywhere along the line, and be devoted to the cause of Christ every step of the way. And even then, you won't feel you satisfy Him. And God says, David says, God, I just know this. He says that I'll be satisfied when I awaken our likeness. I think that's a wonderful thing for the child of God. Wherever you're at, you can please God, but if you're honest and understand who He is and who we are and what we brought over in the flesh, in this body of flesh, the chaotic conditions I preached about this morning in this body of flesh, the day will come when we will leave all this behind, and when we wake in His likeness, see His wonderful face, see the Savior, and then really understand what He did for us. Really see that the portals of glory, which you've never seen anything, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither is in the heart of man, what God has prepared for them that love Him. When we see that, then we'll be satisfied. Now, I'm satisfied with the Lord. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with God. I'm satisfied with the Holy Spirit that lives within me. I'm satisfied with this book. I'm not looking for another book that's written. I'm satisfied. This is the Word of God. These things, I'm satisfied. But I'm not satisfied with myself. And neither are you, if you'll be honest. When we wake in His likeness, though, we will be. Stand to your feet. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You again tonight. Lord, I've tried to bring something that would be for our people who are saved here, be successful in life, and You be in the center of it. Lord, I know now why You brought me through things in the last 53 years, because these things have been experienced in my life. I know they work. I have the history of my faith walking with You. I know these things work. Sometimes a young person's just starting out life in school, and in their young adulthood life, may think, well, the only thing's going to work, just me, my mind. Lord, You could have one accident and change everything in one's planning. One heartbeat, man, would be in eternity. One simple thing that take place that you don't even understand how it took place. We've seen people this past week get killed just all of a sudden, like in something that didn't seem right to get to leave this world the way they left this world. So we have to understand, dear Father, you're the one who gives us information and tells us what we need to be doing. And dear Father, You give it to us in sections so we can put it together systematically to see what God is doing. You don't dump it all at one time. We can't even understand sometimes the sections. We just ask You to help us put it together in sections so we can put it together by the help of the Holy Spirit to see life as it really is. And know God's Word is written to give us instructions, to show us the power of God. Lord, it just amazes me how fickle we are sometimes. We're like the children of Israel sometimes when they in the wilderness, and the Lord, as they wandered, already been delivered out of Egypt and already looking to go back into Egypt because they disobeyed God. They should have been in the land of Canaan where the blessings are. Instead of that, they're wandering in the wilderness. And then, Father, just think, in the wilderness, even their children were not taught the things of God like they should be. Some of those children were born in the wilderness and they wandered 40 years. Some of them could be 38, 39 years old or even 40 years old. And that's the group that began to go back and think about going back into the land of Egypt because they just couldn't understand what God is doing. The parents talking about God delivering them. Deliver them in the wilderness? Can you imagine someone looking at Egypt and hearing all what was there, and now in the wilderness, the only thing they got to eat is manna. Manna for breakfast, manna for lunch, manna for supper, 7 days a week, manna, 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 manna. Anybody get fed up with something like that, even though it was God's food, when you didn't understand why you were getting that. And so some of those descendants began, especially as they grew up, and because of disobedience, the elder ones died who were 20 years and older, and therefore they began to look and say, hey, we can't see, and there was no passing on to that generation coming up, the story of how God delivered them out of Egypt. Lord, there's a great message there. Help me work it out, I pray, in Jesus' name. Bless our people this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.